The reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 chapter 3 verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Can you picture the scene? The new pastor is installed. They've had the induction service. It's his first Sunday sermon. He preaches his heart out, only to find that most of his congregation is against him. The congregation don't believe the gospel. They don't want him to preach the gospel. And they're going to make his life extremely difficult for him as long as he does preach the gospel. This hasn't been my experience, but it has been the experience of several of my friends. I can think of one friend who pastored a famous church in the West End. It was a church where the Prime Minister, Lloyd George, used to preach. And of course, Lloyd George didn't preach the gospel. He preached liberal politics, whilst all the time keeping a wife in the upstairs of 10 Downing Street and a mistress downstairs in 10 Downing Street. That was the spiritual heritage of the church. And over the generations, the church had been a bastion of liberal politics rather than gospel preaching. These things happen. How can a preacher ensure that he's accepted by his hearers? Well, he can't be sure of that. What he can say is that he's not the first to face this problem. The Apostle Paul faced it in Corinth. The Corinthian church was planted by the Apostle Paul, but false teachers had come into the church and turned the church against him. He describes them as super apostles. They weren't genuine apostles. They were extremely impressive and charismatic, but they didn't preach the gospel. And the apostle, the true apostle, has to defend himself from them and make the case for why he should be accepted as the true apostle and the one who defines the gospel for the church. Paul gives two reasons in this passage why the Corinthian church should submit to his leadership. Because he is Christ's prisoner, and because the Holy Spirit endorses him. Firstly then, listen to Paul. Because he is Christ's prisoner. The super apostles would never glory in being a prisoner. they emphasized how impressive they were. Contrast Paul, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. The eagle-eyed among you will have spotted that the English Standard Version and some other versions do not have the word captives in their rendering of this verse. They're correct. The word captives does not appear in the Greek. The translators of the NIV have added it for clarity. The picture is that when a king wins a battle, he rides into his capital city, leading his triumphant army and leading the prisoners of war. They might, for example, have the defeated king led in chains. If the NIV is right, the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm delighted to be defeated by King Jesus. Isn't that a striking thing to say? I'm delighted to be defeated by King Jesus. I'm delighted to be one of his captives. I was a rebel against Jesus. I was a violent opponent of the church. And Jesus came to me, defeated my rebellion, overpowered me, overwhelmed me. And now he leads me as a trophy of grace. And as he leads me, verse 14b, he uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. If this is not a procession of the defeated, in that case, Paul is saying quite simply that Jesus leads a triumphal procession. Paul is part of the triumph. Whichever is the correct interpretation, Paul is still happy to be Christ's slave, Christ's prisoner. God uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Often a triumphal procession would include the use of incense. Verse 15. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. That's quite a boast. Paul is saying you can look at his life as he is led by Christ in absolute submission to Christ, and Paul's life spreads the fragrance of Christ. He is so close to Christ that he smells of Christ. When I was a trainee minister, I went to see the Bishop of London, who was my bishop, and he urged me to wear my dog collar because, he said, it kept the rumour of God alive. People see a collar and it immediately says this person believes in God and believes that God wants to be involved in our lives. Now, I'm not suggesting that you wear a dog collar, although you can if you like. We're all ministers. But I am suggesting that we keep the rumor of God alive in your family, in your circle of friends. I am suggesting that we learn from Paul here. As he is led by Christ, he spreads the aroma of the knowledge of Christ. He talks about Christ. The super apostles didn't do this. They probably talked about themselves, about how impressive they were. Paul wants the Corinthians to follow him, because his rebellion against Christ has been defeated. And now he is consistently led by Christ. And as he's led through life, he makes Christ known. The problem is that as Paul stands for Christ, some people are drawn to Christ, but many people are repelled by Christ. Verse 16. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Paul finds it extremely challenging to represent Christ in the world. It's a great thing when people find us the aroma of life. It's great when people are drawn to Christ through us. It's horrible when people hate Christ and therefore hate us. Richard Wurmbrand was a Lutheran pastor in Romania. He took the courageous step of speaking out against the Communist Party. And he preached Christ, even though this was illegal. For his trouble, he got 14 years of imprisonment and torture. His book is called Tortured for Christ. His feet were so badly beaten that he never walked properly again. It's no fun being hated and persecuted. We've got to face up to the fact that to some people, we will be the smell of death. They will be attracted, some will be attracted to Christ, but to others, we're the stench of death. You may have your own stories of when people have hated you for being a follower of Jesus. Although Richard Wurmbrand's experience puts our suffering well into perspective. The way that the Apostle Paul copes with this task, to which he feels unequal, is that he places all his confidence in God. And that's what we must do. Verse 17, and like so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. Paul's opponents, the super apostles, they're not interested in suffering for Christ. They're not going to be persecuted because their message is health, wealth, and prosperity. Their message is exactly what people want to hear. And it makes them money, like so many television evangelists. Paul is not like that. He does preach the word of God, but he doesn't sell it. He gives it away free. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. How do you cope with persecution? You speak about Christ with sincerity. If it's Christ you speak about, then your opponent has a problem with Christ and not just with you. People will think twice before they fall out with Christ, although some will, of course. Paul knows that he's been sent from God, and therefore he will go on talking about Jesus despite the worst that happens to him. He's led by Christ. He's defeated by Christ. He's transformed by Christ. He is now sent by Christ. The Corinthians should listen to Paul because he is Christ's prisoner. Secondly, because the Holy Spirit endorses him. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. I wonder who you would ask if you needed someone to endorse you. As a minister of religion, I'm often asked to write references for people. I'm surprised in this secular age that people still value the endorsement of a minister. I wonder how long this will still be the case. References were very important to Paul's opponents, verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Paul's opponents would turn up with letters of recommendation. Paul's reply is that the Holy Spirit has done a great work in the Corinthians, in this church which he, Paul, founded. So that, verse 2, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. The Corinthians themselves are Paul's letters of recommendation. The Holy Spirit endorses Paul. The work of the Spirit in the church testifies that Paul is the true apostle. The super apostles have the paper letters. Paul has the Holy Spirit letters. And Paul really loves this church, verse 3. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts. Sign your name across my heart. I want you to be my... Anybody know it? Kim knows it. I want you to be my baby. Sign your name across my heart. I want you to be my lady. Do you remember that song? No, you don't. 1987. Terence Trent D'Arby. I liked it at the time. You get his point. If your name is written on my heart, it means that we love each other. Paul is saying that this Corinthian church is written on his heart and on the hearts of his team. He loves them. And the work of the Spirit in their lives endorses Paul's ministry. Verse 3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. The Corinthians are a letter from Christ, to whom it may concern. From Christ, written by the Spirit. This is an allusion to God giving the Ten Commandments when he wrote on tablets of stone. Just as it was God who wrote the law, it's the Spirit of Christ who is written on these human hearts, a letter which endorses Paul. Therefore, Paul has great confidence. He's not intimidated by the super apostles. Verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Paul can face his opponents because he knows Christ is on his side. Verse 5. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. The only reason Paul feels he can fight the battle is because he knows God gives him everything he needs to live for Christ. That's a very important realization. I'm in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And we can't win it on our own. In my own strength, you might say, I'm vulnerable. I'm vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one. I can't produce that Sunday club lesson or that youth Bible study. I can't persuade my atheistic colleague to come to Sunday at 6. Well, whatever the challenge you face, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. So we are competent to serve him. We are competent to fulfill our ministries. He has made us competent, verse 6, as ministers of a new covenant. God gives us everything we need to serve him. It's a wonderful thing to be a minister of the new covenant. The Old Covenant, or the Old Testament, is God's agreement with the nation of Israel, that he will be their God and they will be his people. The problem was that Israel couldn't keep their side of the covenant. They couldn't obey God. We don't say that out of any sense of superiority to Israel. I can't obey God in my own strength. Israel failed to keep the covenant. They failed to keep God's law. They failed to worship him. They failed to make God known as a light to the Gentiles. And therefore, they forfeited God's blessing. For example, they were carried into exile in Babylon. Israel was in a terrible situation. And then God does something wonderful. He promises a new covenant, a new agreement between God and his people. Famously in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36, God promises to do something new. And crucially, in the new covenant, which Jesus will pay for on the cross, the Holy Spirit will empower us. The Holy Spirit will enable us to obey God and keep the covenant. Ezekiel 36, 27. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. We will be filled with God's Spirit. We will be moved to obey God. Therefore, Paul's ministry is not merely in written word, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In other words, Paul doesn't just give a list of rules and regulations. He does give us law. The New Testament is law to be obeyed. But whereas God's Old Testament people failed to obey because they were struggling in their own strength, God's New Testament people want to obey because God's Spirit is within them. So Paul gives two reasons in this passage why the Corinthian church should submit to his leadership. Because he is Christ's prisoner, because the Holy Spirit endorses him. I wonder, would we be willing to suffer for Christ? Are we willing to stand for Christ even when people oppose us? Are we still in rebellion against Christ? Or has Christ subdued our rebellion as he overwhelmed the rebellion of the Apostle Paul? Would you delight in being Christ's captive slave? Do you want to obey him and serve him with all your energy? And is Christ working on us by his Spirit so that we at Christ Church are like a letter to the world, revealing his character in the lives of his people? Do we smell of Christ? Do we carry the aroma of Christ wherever we go? To some, we'll be the aroma of life. To others, we'll be the aroma of death. People hate the smell of us. They will hate the sight of us. In the face of this opposition, Paul kept sharing the word of God, speaking before God with sincerity as those sent from God. He was a competent minister of the new covenant. So have we experienced the new covenant? Have we had the experience of trusting in Christ, making him king, trusting him to be our savior, our rescuer, from hell for heaven? That's the new covenant experience. And when we have this experience, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, comes into our life and empowers us. Is that us? We've been empowered by Christ, and now we're living for him with all that we have. Is that us? Well, it can be us today. All we must do is open our lives to Christ, make him king, submit to him. Maybe we want to come back to living with Christ as king. Maybe we've been disobeying him. We want to put that right today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the new covenant. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit that enables us to live for you, to follow Christ. Father, grant that that will be the experience of each one of us. Father, if there are any here today who have not yet trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord, grant them to do that today. If there are any, Lord, who have been far from you, bring us all back, Lord, today to loving you and serving you and pleasing you in the world. Grant us, Lord, to be the aroma of Christ. And we do pray, Lord. Lord, we beg you that people will find us the aroma of life. Please, Lord, will people be drawn to Christ through us? Maybe through the film night. Maybe through exploring Christianity. Help us, Lord, we pray, to honor you and glorify you. For Jesus' sake, amen.